facade, then someone would—
She trailed off. Her emotions bubbled to the surface.
I have more allies than enemies, but I'm beginning to realize how much I want out of that world. I'm the one who failed you, Acacia. You were under my protection when your father's men kidnapped you. I never should have gone to Dubai. That's how my father found me.
Nicholas sighed. You could have run into him in Paris or Geneva or a thousand other places he did business. He traced us to Paris and bided his time until you were alone. I believe the taxi driver who drove you and Kurt to your apartment was in on it.
Kurt,
she whispered. Nicholas grimaced.
I attended his funeral. Did he have a family?
Just his parents. Her eyes began to water.
Could I write a letter to them? He died trying to protect me.
I'll have my assistant get you the address.
I guess she hasn't had her baby yet.
Nicholas gave her a half-smile. You remembered? No, she hasn't.
When your men came to get me, the soldier who was carrying me was hit. We went down, and one of my father's men grabbed me. I killed him.
She covered her mouth with her hand. Nicholas's dark eyes blazed.
I know.
Acacia began to sob. As soon as the tears began, she knew this was a deluge that could not be controlled. She didn't have the energy to visualize a wave or anything else. Her reserve of inner strength was gone. All she could see was the man she'd killed, lying on the mosaic tile, blood pouring from his neck. Nicholas wrested his jacket and threw it aside. He kicked off his shoes, peeled off his socks, and climbed into the tub with her. Acacia looked at him in shock.
What are you doing?
He shifted so he was behind her and wrapped his arms and legs around her body.
I'm not going to sit there and watch you cry. You're fully dressed,
she hiccuped.
You'll ruin your clothes.
I don't give a fuck. Nicholas placed his chin on her shoulder. He hugged her as she sobbed in his arms. When her tears were spent, she rested her head against his chest.
The nurse will have to change your bandage.
Nicholas kissed the top of her head.
I sent her away, remember?
She's downstairs. I told her she was staying the night.
Thank you.
Acacia, I need to send you back to Geneva. It isn't safe for you here. She gripped his forearm with both hands.
I'm not leaving. You need time to recover from your ordeal. Are you returning to Geneva?
He exhaled loudly.
No. Then I'm not either.
Nicholas huffed in her ear, but didn't argue.
Your mother invited me to see her after I checked out of the hospital. I didn't respond to her invitation. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. I kept your personal details private, but she knows you were kidnapped. She'll understand you weren't ready to see people.
I didn't have any clothes. She sent me the outfit I was wearing, along with a bag of brand new things.
Nicholas stroked Acacia's hair. She cares for you.
Does she know you're here?
Nicholas gently extricated himself from her grasp and stepped out of the tub. He stood on the bath mat, dripping wet. He ran his fingers through his hair.
You've ruined your watch.
She pointed to the gold timepiece that sat on his wrist. He shrugged.
To answer your question, no. My mother doesn't know I'm here. I've been avoiding her calls.
He unfolded a bath sheet and held his hand out toward her. She took it gratefully. He wrapped her in the bath sheet and helped her out of the tub. Despite the fact that his clothes were soaked, he took his time toweling her. Then he retrieved a bathrobe from a nearby hook.
We have a lot to discuss, but now is not the time. We can talk tomorrow.
He made an exasperated noise.
You know why I'm here. I have to see this through.
She looked up at him.
I love you.
He tugged at his hair in frustration.
But you know what I'm going to do. You told me you couldn't stay with me. I'm sorry I left you. That was a mistake. I'm probably not well, Nicholas. The doctor is sure I have post-traumatic stress disorder. But somehow I see things much more clearly than before I was kidnapped.
And? He interjected, his eyes guarded. Acacia was quiet for a moment, but when she spoke, it was from the heart.
I'm not here to prevent you from seeking justice. I want the people who killed your sister to be punished, and I want your family to have their artwork back. I just don't want you to kill anyone.
Her voice wavered.
I say this as someone who has.
Acacia. He gripped her arms. Look at me. No one blames you for that.
You were trying to escape. But it's a choice I wish I hadn't had to make. And I will have to live with that choice for the rest of my life.
She sniffled.
I'm not leaving you. I'm going to stay at your side and work like hell to keep you from making a mistake.
His eyes bored into hers. There have been some developments.
What happened?
We'll talk more tomorrow. It's getting late and you should rest. She took his hand.
Promise me you won't do anything until we talk.
He looked down at her hand. He rubbed his thumb across her knuckles. I promise. I'll get the nurse, so she can see to your bandage. He kissed her forehead and left the room, still soaking wet. Chapter 58 Acacia stood next to the overnight bag Madame Cassirer had packed for her, and held up an elegant nightgown. The gown had a plunging neckline and was made of ivory silk. Acacia sighed. This was not what she wanted to wear to bed. A knock sounded at the door.
Come in,
she called, hastily placing the nightgown on top of the bag. Nicholas peered around the edge of the door.
What did the nurse say?
Acacia waved him inside the room.
She said the wound is beginning to heal. I still have to be careful. I'm still taking antibiotics.
Acacia frowned.
She reminded me that antibiotics render birth control pills inert.
When Nicholas didn't comment, she cast the nightgown a baleful look.
I don't have anything to wear to bed.
I thought my mother packed a bag. Nicholas looked around until he spied the luggage.
She packed that.
Acacia pointed to the gown.
It's lovely, but inappropriate.
Nicholas's expression tightened when he saw the ivory silk.
I see.
Can I borrow one of your shirts?
Nicholas turned to look at her.
Of course.
He crossed to the wardrobe and opened it. He went through the hanging clothes and finally settled on a pale blue dress shirt. He brought it to her.
Here.
Thank you.
She gathered the shirt to her chest, surreptitiously inhaling the scent that lifted to her nostrils.
I came to say good night.
Nicholas stood next to her.
I thought this was your room.
It is.
I thought you'd want space. Her forehead crinkled.
I want space. I just want you to be in that space.
He grinned.
All right. I'm going to be working late, so don't wait up. But I'll join you later on.
Thank you.
She reached up to kiss him, and he kissed her back. His kisses, however, were restrained.
Sleep well,
he whispered. She watched his retreating back as he walked to the door.
Acacia, wake up!
Nicholas's voice invaded her darkness. His hand rested lightly on her shoulder. Acacia opened her eyes and blinked against the light that shone from the nightstand. Nicholas raised himself up on an elbow and leaned over her.
You were speaking Arabic and groaning.
What was I saying?
She lifted a hand to block out some of the light.
I don't know.
He smiled patiently.
I don't know Arabic, but you sounded upset.
I was back in Morocco.
She covered her face with her hands, and a shiver passed over her. Gently, Nicholas pulled her hands away from her face.
You aren't in Morocco. You're in Finland. And you're safe.
Impulsively, she tugged on his arm and drew him atop her.
What are you doing?
He asked, his voice thick. He held himself over her, shifting his weight to his forearms.
I miss you.
She gazed up at him, at the face that had become so dear to her, a face she had thought she might never see again. He stroked her hair.
Marshu, my beautiful, brave girl.
I don't feel very brave. I feel small and scared.
But you aren't. He spoke forcefully. It's natural to feel frightened, but you're strong and determined. Even Rick is in awe of you.
Acacia rolled her eyes.
He wasn't going to bring me to you. I told him to let me out of the car and I'd find my own way.
See? I've seen men quake in their boots on the receiving end of one of Rick's glares. You almost reduced him to tears.
He needs a good cry. It releases tension.
Nicholas laughed and brought their foreheads together.
A woman who wasn't brave couldn't laugh in such situations, and you make me laugh, when I've gone years without any mirth at all.
Kiss me,
she whispered. Nicholas cupped her face with both hands, taking care to avoid the bruise on her left cheek. Acacia could read his hesitation, but she also saw love shining in his eyes. He stroked her jaw.
I thought I'd lost you.
I regret giving you an ultimatum.
We'll talk tomorrow, he vowed. But tonight, at least, you're mine.
You have my heart, Nicholas. I don't want it back.
He brought his mouth to hers and kissed her tentatively. She touched the back of his neck and opened her mouth. Nicholas would not be rushed. He pecked at her lips at an unhurried pace before swiping his tongue across her lower lip. Acacia reacted hungrily. Nicholas gently entered her mouth and savored her tongue. Her fingertips glided to his shoulders and across the strong muscles of his back. Nicholas hadn't worn a shirt to bed, and as usual, his skin was warm. She was grateful for his heat.
My shirt looks good on you,
he murmured as his lips dropped to her neck. He kissed the indentation at her throat before he nudged the placket aside, exposing the tops of her breasts.
I missed your scent,
she said shyly. He lifted his head and gave her a blinding smile. Her fingers moved to his shirt and removed it, exposing her breasts. Nicholas gazed down in appreciation. He touched her nipples, his eyes moving to hers for approval.
Yes,
she whispered. He continued fondling her and bent to kiss the tops of her breasts. Her hands moved to his lower back, and she traced his spine. He responded by taking one of her nipples into his mouth. Pleasure, sweet and raw, filled her. Nicholas took his time. He murmured his appreciation against her skin and used his skillful tongue and lips to build the joy within her. Then he kissed his way down the center of her body to the edge of her underwear. She placed her hand on his shoulder and stilled him.
I just want you inside me.
He regarded her carefully.
We'll use a condom. But remember, the nurse said your birth control pills aren't working right now.
I don't care.
He was quiet for a moment.
Okay.
He left the bed, walked into the bathroom, and switched on the light. Acacia could hear a drawer open and close. Nicholas padded back to the bed, offering her the glorious view of his almost naked body, clad only in blue boxer shorts. He removed the shorts and opened the condom as he stood next to the bed. She watched, eager with anticipation, as he rolled on the prophylactic. Then he was next to her on the bed, his hand on her abdomen.
Wouldn't you rather be on top? Not tonight. I like how you feel on top of me.
Nicholas looked at his hand. His face grew troubled.
What's the matter?
She asked, suddenly worried.
I don't want you to feel trapped or anxious.
His eyes met hers.
I'm not broken, Nicholas. I'm just bruised.
He winced and reached for her cheek, his thumb hovering over the place her father had struck her.
How can you love me?
Nicholas whispered.
How could I not?
She gripped his wrist and squeezed.
I see you as you are, but I also see you as you will become. I think you saw the same spark in me, even when I was hiding who I was.
Nothing could hide your spark. It was one of the first things that drew me to you.
And nothing could hide your commitment to justice. You came to my aid even when you were suspicious of me back at the hotel.
He kissed her reverently. How about side by side?
As long as you're holding me. Of course.
He kissed her deeply and wrapped his arms around her. Their lower bodies moved toward one another. Acacia threw her leg over his hip, and he brought his hand to her backside. Their chests pressed together, and Nicholas sought her eyes. She smiled. He engaged her slowly, and when he was fully seated within her, he closed his eyes. She could see the emotion on his face. It was beautiful. They began to move together, a gentle rhythm that slowly increased in pace. In time, their desire outstripped their restraint, and they moved more quickly.
This is worth fighting for, he groaned.
Yes.
Acacia's hand slid to Nicholas's backside as she urged him forward. Then she arched her neck as her orgasm raced through her. Nicholas continued to thrust, his movements jerky and rapid. Without warning, he stilled within her and buried his face against her shoulder.
Thank you,
she murmured. She felt as if she were floating. Her body finally relaxed. Nicholas kissed her neck.
Why are you thanking me? I should be thanking you.
I'm just happy to be back in your arms.
Nicholas pulled back so he could see her eyes.
Your love is a gift. I promise. I won't take it for granted.
Acacia closed her eyes and wrapped her arms around him. Chapter 59. The following morning, after breakfast, Nicholas and Acacia sat in a brightly lit sunroom on the ground floor. Acacia curled up on the sofa with a cup of coffee, and Nicholas sat across from her in a chair. His laptop rested on the nearby table, along with a large green box. He opened the box to reveal two matching gold watches. He retrieved the women's watch.
After you were kidnapped, I realized that locating you would have been much easier if you'd worn a tracking device. You don't have to accept this, but my team has suggested we both wear them. If for some reason we're separated, we will always be able to find one another.
Acacia didn't hesitate. She held out her arm, and Nicholas slipped the watch over her wrist. He fastened it carefully.
I wasn't sure you'd accept it,
he murmured, slipping the men's watch on his own wrist.
My perception of the world is somewhat altered.
She touched the Rolex in wonder.
No one would know by looking at it that it has a tracking device.
Exactly. He clasped his hands together.
As I mentioned last night, there have been some developments. I was able to uncover the name of Yasmin's ex-boyfriend. My people hacked his security system and accessed the video feed from inside his house. We've been monitoring him. But I'm sure he has his own hackers, who are now hunting mine.
What does that mean?
It means time is running out. Either he knows we've hacked him, and he's trying to uncover the identities of the hackers, or he will soon. We have surveillance near the house. The Russian isn't there. My team is waiting for him to return.
What will they do when he returns?
They'll go in after dark, disarm him and his men, and secure the art. Then I'll go in.
Do you know for sure he has your artwork?
Nicholas shook his head.
Not without examining it in person. I'm relying on Yasmin's testimony, along with what I've been able to uncover about the Russian's taste for expensive art. Through the video feed, I've been able to see inside his vault. What appears to be our Degas is visible. Some of the items are covered or positioned behind other objects, so I can't be sure what he has. We pulled stills from the video, and I'm having them analyzed.
Can I look at them?
Shouldn't you be resting?
I can rest and look at photographs.
Then be my guest.
Nicholas retrieved his laptop and opened a few files. He handed it to Acacia. She clicked through a series of black-and-white screenshots of what she presumed was the vault inside the Russian's house. It matched what she could remember of Yasmin's description. Piles of art and artifacts crowded into a room. She saw elephant tusks, what looked like a gold Fabergé egg, and the Degas drawing. Acacia gasped. She pointed to a painting that hung on the wall, to the left of the elephant tusks.
Is that?
Nicholas's face was grim. That's the missing Matisse, from the Musée d'Art Moderne. I've been searching for the original for years. Now I know who has it.
Have you told the BRB?
Not yet. If I'm able to secure it, I'll hand it over to the Minister of the Interior. I won't even involve the BRB.
Why not?
If they were to take over the recovery, they'd have to work with the Russians. Serge Kuznetsov, Yasmin's ex-boyfriend, seems to have paid off every high-ranking law enforcement official in Moscow. He's untouchable.
What about the Russian Bureau of Interpol?
Nicholas shifted in his seat. I have a contact in that office. They are suspicious of Kuznetsov and his activities, but they haven't had any evidence linking him to art theft.
What about these photos?
Acacia tapped the screen of the laptop. I haven't shared them, since they're the product of an illegal hack. Nicholas pointed at his computer.
Look at the rest.
Acacia clicked through images of a palatial estate and its interior. A few of the photographs showed armed guards and dogs patrolling the grounds. She clicked on another photograph and gasped.
What are these?
Nicholas looked at the screen. Weapons. Grenades, ammunition, bombs.
Why does he have a stockpile of weapons?
He's probably dealing them.
And the Russian police don't care?
Nicholas's expression tightened. They probably don't know, but again, I uncovered evidence that Kuznetsov has been bribing officials. Perhaps they're looking the other way. Acacia closed the laptop and placed it on the coffee table.
After you have the artwork, what will you do?
I'll punish the collector and find out where his Bosnian team is. Then I'll go after them.
Why haven't you told your parents about this?
Nicholas frowned. I don't want them involved.
You don't want them involved because you know part of what you're doing is wrong.
I want justice.
Justice means the man who ordered the robbery must be punished. It doesn't mean he has to be killed. If the artwork is returned to your parents, and they discover who killed your sister, it will give them closure.
It won't be enough. Acacia stilled.
Did your parents ask you to kill him?
No.
Nicholas, not even killing the man who did this to your sister will be enough. You could kill him 1,000 times, and it still won't bring your sister back.
I owe it to her to avenge her. Acacia cleared her throat.
I say this with love and respect. Nothing I have learned about your sister or your parents suggests to me that they want you to do this.
I have to see this through. Nicholas stood and began to pace across the room.
I thought I was going to die.
Acacia's voice broke on the last word. She cleared her throat and tried to regain her composure.
My father threatened to kill me. And I believed he was going to carry out that threat.
Nicholas stopped pacing. Do you blame me for killing him? I was the one who turned over the information you gave me to Mossad, who in turn told the Syrians.
No, I don't blame you. The Syrians made their choice. His blood is on their heads. But Nicholas, you have a choice now. You can choose freedom.
I will never be free so long as the men who killed my sister are still alive.
And if you kill them, you will never be free.
Nicholas let out a shaky breath. His body seemed to deflate. How can I face my parents and tell them I let the man who killed my sister go? Acacia went to him and wrapped her arms around his waist.
You won't be letting him go. We have to find a way to have law enforcement punish him, and that means involving them somehow. And you won't be standing in front of your parents by yourself. I'll be with you.
I don't see how we can persuade the Russians to prosecute someone who has been bribing them for years.
There has to be a way. You don't want to appear before the Minister of the Interior of France and hand him the Matisse after killing the man who stole it. You don't want the celebration of the recovery to be clouded by that. And the same is true of recovering the paintings owned by your parents. We have this second chance. We are both alive. We can both be free together. You told me once that you took pride in being able to look at yourself in the mirror. I'm asking you to continue being the same noble man I fell in love with.
He placed his hands on her shoulders. I'm sorry, Acacia. There's no way out. She reached up and touched his face.
I couldn't find a way out of the prison my father put me in, but there was a way out. You sent people to show me the way. Just because you can't see the way out doesn't mean it isn't there.
He regarded her for a moment.
You'll stay.
She lifted on the tips of her toes to bring their foreheads together.
I love you, and I'm not leaving. But I'm asking you to work with me to find another way.
Nicholas closed his eyes. When he opened them, he wore an expression of defeat.
I can try. But if it looks like he's going to escape, I'm going to do everything in my power to prevent that from happening. Everything, Acacia.
She searched his eyes. She recognized that he was conceding a great deal to her, even though it wasn't exactly what she wanted.
All right.
She wrapped her arms around his neck. Chapter 60
Boss, there's something you need to see.
A man Acacia didn't recognize interrupted their tender moment. He was young, bearded, and had carefully oiled and combed hair. He reminded her of some of the Sorbonne students who hung out in cafes on the left bank of Paris.
I have to go.
Nicholas kissed her firmly and released her. He followed the young man into the hall. She returned to the couch and gazed out the window, admiring the sunny day and the beautiful fir trees that encircled the house.
How are you feeling?
Rick called from the doorway. She looked over at him and smiled.
Much better, thanks.
He entered the room.
So, you and the boss?
We're working things out.
Rick nodded.
Good.
Thank you for bringing me,
Acacia said quietly. Rick smiled, which was, in Acacia's experience, a rare occurrence.
You're welcome.
At that moment, Acacia's cell phone rang. She gave Rick an apologetic look and looked at the screen. It was Kate.
I need to take this.
She picked up the phone as Rick left the room to give her privacy.
Hello? Hello? Claude and I are at this very posh house in Switzerland about to have tea with Nicholas's mother. Where are you? Oh, Kate.
Acacia sank back down on the sofa.
I'm so sorry. I'm with Nicholas.
Yeah, his mother told us that when we arrived yesterday. She's been spoiling us, you know, fancy meals, sightseeing in Geneva, and shopping.
She bought Claude a new collar. He adores her. Acacia laughed.
It's so good to hear your voice.
You too. Listen, what's going on? Mrs. Cassira said you were kidnapped. And I know one of Nicholas's bodyguards was killed. The Paris police were all over the apartment building for days.
I'm all right.
Acacia's voice was shaky.
It's a long story, and I promise you, I will tell it all one day. But the short version is that my father and my mother were estranged, and my father kidnapped me. It was a very bad situation, and I'm lucky Nicholas was able to rescue me.
Kate was silent for a moment.
The strangest, most dangerous shit happens to you. Are you sure you're on Brazilian Secret Service or something?
Acacia laughed.
No, I'm not. It was rude of me to leave Geneva before you arrived, without explanation. I'm so sorry. But Nicholas and I had a falling out, and I went after him.
Well, good for you. Kate paused. Did you get him?
Yes.
Acacia said softly.
I got him.
Good. Claude and I have decided to live it up in Cullinan for a few more days. The Cassirers are really nice, and I needed a vacation. When are you coming home?
Loud, quick footsteps echoed in the hall, and Nicholas reappeared, his expression tense.
I'm coming home soon. I just don't know when. Do you mind taking care of Claude for me?
Acacia looked at Nicholas, who nodded at her.
No problem. I'm kind of fond of the little guy. I'm thinking about getting a cat myself.
Kate sighed.
I'll let you go, but please take care of yourself and your hot guy. No more dangerous shit. No more dangerous shit. See you soon. Bye, Kate.
Acacia ended the call. Nicholas moved toward her.
I need to go to Moscow.
Acacia stood.
What's happening?
Kuznetsov returned to his house. My team is going in after nightfall. I want to be nearby.
Then I'm coming with you.
What about what you just promised Kate? This will be dangerous. Once we enter the country, we'll be at risk. Acacia squared her shoulders.
I don't care. I'm not being left behind.
Nicholas exchanged a look with Rick, who shrugged. Nicholas rubbed his forehead.
I'm not making the same mistake. But I'd like you to see the nurse first. She may have to travel with us.
Acacia nodded and went in search of the nurse. The flight from Helsinki to Moscow was less than 2 hours. Acacia and Nicholas checked into the opulent 5-star Red Square Hotel around 5 o'clock in the evening. Nicholas and his team had chosen the hotel for its security as well as its location. Acacia stood in the bedroom of their suite, next to the floor-to-ceiling windows that looked out over the Kremlin. While she'd had contact with the concierge staff when she worked at the Victoire, she'd never visited Russia before. It was an entirely new experience. She could see the elegant domes of St. Basil's Cathedral and the red brick Kremlin walls. If their visit had been personal in nature, she would have liked to walk around Red Square. Nicholas materialized at her side. They'd entered the country with fictitious Swiss diplomatic passports, but he'd been determined to display his scar. He wanted to face the Russian and his Bosnian team and show them what they had done. Nicholas placed his arm around her shoulder.
I love you,
he whispered. Acacia lifted her eyes to his. He hadn't said the words since she'd returned. In her heart, she'd feared he might not say them again.
I love you too, Munker.
She reached up and kissed him. He held her in his arms and kissed her deeply.
I have something you left behind.
He gave her a searching look.
What is it?
He crossed to his briefcase and retrieved the black box. Acacia recognized it. Nicholas stood in front of her.
I don't want to assume anything. Of course I want it back,
she whispered.
I never should have left it behind.
Nicholas opened the box and retrieved the lapis lazuli necklace. He placed it around her neck and fastened the clasp. That is where it should always be, he said, stroking the column of her throat. A knock sounded, and they turned toward the open door. Rick wore a very unhappy expression.
Someone wants to talk to you.
He held out a cell phone to Nicholas. Nicholas crossed toward him and placed the phone at his ear.
Go.
He strode into the living room, and Acacia followed. Several more security agents were there, along with the nurse.
Repeat that,
Nicholas barked into the phone, in English. Acacia couldn't hear what the voice on the other end of the line was saying, but clearly something was wrong.
Fuck, he exploded. I'm putting you on speaker, so my head of security can hear you.
Nicholas pressed a button on the cell phone.
Go, Blue Leader.
Target has entered an armored car and is in a 3-vehicle convoy driving from the house to the gates. A male voice with an American accent filled the room. Either we ambush them outside the gates, or we let him go. Awaiting instruction. Nicholas looked at Rick. Rick shook his head.
Too noisy and too open. It isn't dark yet, so there wouldn't be much cover. It's possible Kuznetsov knows our guys are out there, and he's attempting to draw fire. Damn it!
Nicholas made a fist.
Blue Leader, an ambush will draw too much attention.
Hold your positions, and wait for further orders.
Copy that,
the voice replied. Nicholas entered the call, his face thunderous. Acacia touched his arm.
What's going on?
Kuznetsov is leaving the compound. We lost our window.
Acacia couldn't help but feel relieved.
What are you going to do?
Nicholas looked at Rick.
We need to have Kuznetsov detained. Call Wynn and try to have him put eyes on the convoy. Activate the secondary incursion team and have them meet me here. I want to be with them when they close in on Kuznetsov. Have Wynn reach out to our contact in Russian Interpol and patch him through to my cell phone.
Rick's gaze moved to Acacia and back to his employer.
You can't wear a suit with the incursion team.
Nicholas shrugged.
I'll change. Tell them to bring an extra set of gear.
With a last look at Acacia, Rick pulled out his cell phone and made the call. Acacia took hold of Nicholas's hand.
What about the artwork? Why not send your team in after dark to recover it?
If I do that, I'll have lost Kuznetsov, and probably started a war.
Nicholas led Acacia into the bedroom and closed the door. He took off his suit jacket and placed it on the bed. He sat down and removed his shoes and socks. Acacia came to stand in front of him.
I don't want you to go.
I can't let him get away.
And I'm going with you.
Acacia kicked off her shoes and reached under her dress for her stockings. She began to roll them down her legs. Nicholas stared.
What are you doing? I told you.
She threw the stockings aside and unzipped her dress.
I'm going with you.
Nicholas moved to his feet.
You can't go with me. It's dangerous. You still have a head injury, for God's sake.
Where you go, I go. If it's too dangerous for me, then it's too dangerous for you. Unless you intend to have your men restrain me or knock me out, the way my father's men did when they kidnapped me, I'm coming with you.
Nicholas's expression shifted from determined to surprised to anxious. He took her hand.
I've hurt you enough.
She lifted his palm to her heart.
Can you feel that?
He nodded.
My heart is still beating. I'm alive, and so are you. If you kill Kuznetsov, I'll still love you, Nicholas. But you'll kill part of my heart.
Nicholas screwed his eyes shut.
Talk to Interpol. Send your team to retrieve the artwork. Follow Kuznetsov. But don't go with the incursion team unless you're prepared to kill him in front of me, because I'm not letting you go.
She covered his hand with hers.
Not now, not ever.
Nicholas swallowed hard. He opened his eyes.
All right.
With a deep, shuddering sigh, he sat back on the bed and replaced his socks and shoes.
Put your clothes back on. I'm going to speak to Rick, and I'll head over to the surveillance center.
Acacia nodded. Nicholas stood.
Stay with Steve and Ray. I'll be next door.
I'll come over shortly.
Nicholas touched her cheek.
You haven't had dinner.
Neither of you.
Order room service for both of us. It's going to be a long night.
He kissed her and exited the bedroom. Acacia hugged herself and sat on the bed. She knew she'd done the right thing, but she also knew that in acceding to her request, Nicholas had foregone part of the closure he thought he needed. She took her time getting dressed, trying to process what had just occurred. A short time after she finished dressing, Acacia unpacked her suitcase. She was hanging the clothes Madame Cassirer had given her when someone knocked on the bedroom door. She opened it. Rick stood in the doorway, speaking hurriedly into his cell phone.
He isn't there. He left 10 minutes ago with Jeff and Kevin.
No, he told me to redirect the incursion team to Kuznetsov's coordinates. I thought they were patched into your guys.
Rick looked at Acacia. His normally calm demeanor had vanished.
Check the feed to see if he went down to the parking garage. Maybe he changed his mind.
Rick disconnected the call.
What's going on?
Acacia asked. Rick was already running toward the suite's entrance. She followed with Steve and Ray. The long corridor outside the suite was empty.
Damn it!
Rick ran toward the service elevator, his eyes on the carpet. He crouched down and touched a few spots.
Blood!
Cursing, he stalked past Acacia and the other two bodyguards to the room next to the suite. He swiped his security card and led the small group into the surveillance room. Acacia stepped to the side. The large conference room was filled with tables and chairs and an abundance of laptops and machines. 10 men and 3 women hunched over separate workstations. Many of the agents wore headsets. The curtains to the room were drawn and the lights dimmed. A large screen had been suspended from the ceiling. A series of video feeds were projected on it. Acacia surmised the feeds came from the Russian's compound. She recognized the interior of his vault. Rick went to Wen, who was standing and typing on a laptop.
Talk to me.
Wen's fingers flew across the keyboard. We're pulling up video from the exits on this floor, including the service elevator. Acacia stood next to Rick.
You don't think Nicholas decided to go with the incursion team?
Rick frowned.
No. That wouldn't explain the blood in the hall.
Wen turned to a woman sitting behind him. Olga, put the video feed for this floor on the main screen. Play back the past 15 minutes.
I didn't see anything,
Olga protested.
The boss didn't even enter the hall.
Did you see Rick and Mrs. Santos? Wen asked, focusing on the main screen as the images changed.
Negative.
Wen turned to Rick.
We've been using the hotel's security system to monitor access to this floor. Olga should have seen you and Acacia enter the hall. She should have seen the boss, too, but she didn't.
What does that mean?
Acacia gazed at the main screen, which showed an empty hotel corridor.
There!
The bearded young man Acacia had met in Helsinki shouted from the front of the room.
There's a loop! Someone hacked the system and looped an image of an empty hall!
Fuck! Wen swore. Olga, bypass the loop and get the actual feed. Everyone except Jim, focus on the feeds for all entrances and exits to the hotel. Jim, try to reach Jeff and Kevin.
Rick straightened and addressed the room.
The hotel has been compromised. We're dark as of this moment, so no information sharing with hotel security. Wen, the secondary incursion team should be on its way. But let them know they'll be stationed here. We'll need them for additional security.
Rick gestured to Steve and Ray.
We're going to sweep the floor, the elevator, and the stairwell. Wen, call me when you've got something.
I ordered room service,
Acacia said quietly. Rick nodded at Wen.
Cancel that order.
Rick drew his gun, and the other guards followed suit. They exited into the hall. Acacia stood behind Wen as he canceled her room service order. The air in the room was tense as the analysts scanned their computer screens.
Jeff and Kevin aren't responding via comlink, Jim announced. Their cell phones are on, but they aren't answering. I've traced the phones to the parking garage downstairs.
Copy that. Wen quickly relayed the message to Rick.
I found something.
Another woman stood next to her laptop.
Put it on the main screen, Wen ordered.
Acacia gazed in shock at images of Nicholas being bustled out of an elevator by a group of masked men and entering what looked like an underground parking garage. He was pushed into a waiting van, and the limp bodies of his security guards were loaded into the back. The van sped off.
God damn it!
Wen lifted his voice over the cacophony that erupted in the room.
Liz, I want you to analyze the video and pull everything you can. Try to get a license plate. Everyone else, divvy up the video feeds to see if we can find out where the van is going. Dave, I need you to hack into the Moscow streetlight and security cameras. See if you can pick up the van.
We've got the feed to the floor,
Olga interjected.
Main screen, Wen ordered. Rewind the past 30 minutes.
The command center grew silent as they watched Nicholas and his security guards being ambushed by a group of 6 masked men, armed with automatic weapons, who'd been hiding in the service elevator.
Shit,
said Wen.
They've got eyes inside the hotel.
The service elevator opened as soon as the boss entered the hall.
They were waiting for him.
Wen quickly relayed the findings to Rick. Acacia could hear him swearing over the comlink. Acacia clasped a hand over her mouth as Olga played the images of Nicholas's capture over and over again. His security guards had been struck in the head, knocking them out, Their bodies had been carried into the elevator. Nicholas had attempted to wrest one of the guns from an assailant, but another masked man had placed his gun to Nicholas's temple. After they'd restrained him, they'd punched him in the face. Acacia saw blood spill from Nicholas's mouth. As his hand covered his mouth, she saw something glitter at his wrist.
"The watch!"
she croaked, touching Wen's elbow.
"Nicholas is wearing his watch, the one with the tracking device."
"Right,"
Wen muttered. Again, his fingers flew across the keyboard. "Dave, I'm sending the link to the tracking device in the boss's watch. I want you to pinpoint his location and report back."
"Affirmative,"
the bearded man replied. He tapped several keys on his laptop.
"Where are they taking Nicholas?"
Acacia whispered.
"Dave, status," Wen called out.
"Okay, I've got eyes on the watch. He's still in the city,"
Dave replied. Acacia closed her eyes and said a prayer. Kidnappings took extensive planning, especially inside what should have been a secure hotel. If the Russian had Nicholas, he would probably kill him. They needed a rescue plan, and they needed one fast.
"Where's Rick?"
she asked.
"On his way back up."
"We need to contact the incursion team at the Russian's house and send them after Nicholas."
Acacia spoke to Wen quietly. He gave her a quizzical look.
"You know who I am to Nicholas,"
she continued.
"I'm not going to hamper your efforts. I'm here to help."
Wen frowned. The boss wanted the team to go in.
"If the Russian isn't in the house, the incursion is pointless. Nicholas told me that. Right now, his safety should be our first priority."
"No argument there, but we have a protocol."
"And that is?"
Acacia lifted her eyebrows.
"Rick's in charge."
"Fine."
Acacia crossed her arms.
"Call him."
As Wen did as she asked, she stood and surveyed the room and all the computer screens.
"Can you patch the incursion team into the surveillance on Nicholas's watch?"
"Yes."
Wen looked toward the door.
"Rick's back."
The door to the conference room opened, and all eyes swung to the door. Rick, Steve, and Ray entered. Acacia went to Rick.
"I want Wen to activate the incursion team to rescue Nicholas."
Rick frowned.
"The boss isn't going to like it, but I was thinking the same thing. Russian law enforcement isn't an option, not with the operation we have going on here."
"What about hotel security? Will they call the police?"
Rick scoffed.
"Someone paid them off. The extraction team drove right into the parking garage and took the service elevator to this floor. They'd have to have an elevator key to do that. I doubt the hotel will call the police, but just in case, I'll activate one of our contacts."
Rick walked over to Olga and began speaking to her in low tones. Acacia followed.
"Nicholas is wearing his watch, and Dave is tracking him. How can we find the Russian?"
"The boss was supposed to speak to a contact in Russian Interpol."
Rick looked around Acacia to Wen.
"Did you make the call?"
"Yes. When the boss was delayed, the agent hung up."
Acacia chewed at the edge of her lip.
"Kuznetsov knows we're here,"
Rick mused.
"Look at the timing. He leaves the house, knowing it will provoke a reaction from us. Then his guys jump the boss. Kuznetsov must have people inside the hotel."
He turned to Wen.
"Patch the incursion team into our surveillance on the boss. Tell them to get ready for an extraction."
"Affirmative,"
Wen replied.
"Rules of engagement?"
"Tell them not to leave a large footprint,"
Rick replied.
"Obviously, we want the boss unharmed, but they're going to take fire getting him out."
"Copy that,"
said Wen. He began speaking into his headset in a low voice.
"We need a diversion,"
Rick muttered. He approached Wen and waited until he'd finished speaking.
"Tell the incursion team to trip the security system at the compound. That will bring out the cavalry, and it will buy us some time."
As Wen followed orders, Acacia turned to Rick.
"Kuznetsov probably has Nicholas, but without involving law enforcement, we may not be able to tie him to the kidnapping. If we let the artwork go, Nicholas will have failed."
Rick looked at her keenly.
"I think we agree the boss's safety is our first priority."
"Of course. But I want to tie Kuznetsov to the stolen art. It may give us some leverage if the incursion team runs into problems."
Rick shook his head.
"We have two teams.
The first is going to get the boss, and the second is on their way here. We need them for security. I'm surprised Kuznetsov didn't try for you, too.
Acacia's heart leapt into her throat. A wave of anxiety washed over her, and she was suddenly in Morocco, sitting in her cell in the dark. She found it difficult to breathe.
You need to sit down?
Rick took her elbow and led her to a chair.
You want me to call the nurse?
She shook her head. Steve quickly retrieved a glass of water and handed it to her. Her hand shook as she took the glass.
Take a deep breath, Rick ordered, but don't close your eyes. Look around you. We're doing all we can to help the boss. Don't fall apart on me.
Acacia kept her eyes open and visualized her panic attack as a wall of water. She imagined it crashing over her from head to toe and then disappearing into the carpet. She drew a deep breath.
Do you want to go back to the suite and lie down?
Rick's face creased with concern.
I want to help.
Shakily, she sipped the water. Rick placed his hand on her shoulder.
We've got this. You should go. This will take time.
The artwork,
she managed, tasting the water again.
We have to find a way to tie Kuznetsov to the artwork. Then we have something Russian law enforcement can prosecute.
Rick shook his head.
The boss has a contact in Russian Interpol, but his hands are tied. He doesn't have legal grounds to search.
Sure he does,
Olga called from across the room, her face reddened as Rick and Acacia scrutinized her. She left her workstation and walked over to where Acacia was seated.
Olga Ivanova,
she introduced herself.
I'm the Russian specialist. Russian law requires only that law enforcement have the suspicion of the presence of weapons on private property to justify a search. If you can provide Interpol with videos of weapons in Kuznetsov's compound, it's enough for suspicion.
That's risky,
Wayne interjected as he walked over to the huddle. The video is illegally obtained. Kuznetsov can challenge the search.
Not if Interpol sees footage of an armed response to a security breach,
Olga countered.
Rick called for the incursion team to trip the security system. If they can lure Kuznetsov's men outside the walls of the compound and videotape them, the footage wouldn't be the product of an illegal wiretap.
That may work, Rick admitted.
Please, said Acacia. It's worth a try.
Rick nodded at Wen.
Okay, Chris, get eyes on the compound so we can get footage of their response.
Wen looked over at the analyst seated next to his workstation.
Copy that, said Chris.
Dave, location, Wen barked.
Still in Moscow, Dave reported.
The boss is on the M9, which is the Baltic Highway. It looks like they're headed west outside the city.
Possible destinations?
The highway runs all the way to Latvia, but settlements outside the city include Golievo, Novi, and Voronki.
What about Kuznetsov?
Rick asked.
The convoy disappeared,
Dave admitted.
Several of the side streets in his neighborhood don't have cameras on them.
Start pulling up aerial views of the settlements you mentioned,
Wen instructed, but keep an eye out for the convoy. He turned to Rick and Acacia.
We just received some good news. Nicholas is on the M9 heading west. That's in the general direction of the Barvika area, which is where the compound is. Our incursion team won't be too far away.
Have they tripped the security system yet?
Rick asked.
Chris, status, said Wen.
Nothing yet,
Chris reported.
Okay, tell the team to breach security in such a way as to draw Kuznetsov's men outside the compound. Then they need to get the hell out,
Rick instructed.
Since Nicholas is traveling toward them, they should be able to catch up with him.
Affirmative,
Wen spoke into his headset in hushed tones.
I need my cell phone. It's in my purse, which is in the suite.
Acacia said quietly to Steve, who stood next to her. He turned and exited the conference room. She moved to sit next to Wen.
Does Nicholas's Interpol contact know him as Nicholas or one of his aliases?
Pierre Breckman. Why?
I'd like to speak to the Interpol contact.
Wen looked up at Rick and lifted his eyebrows. Acacia frowned.
I speak Russian. I know about the stolen art, and I've seen photos of Kuznetsov's vault.
That's not a good idea, said Rick. You're under a lot of strain. and we've got the incursion team poised to trip the security system. Let's see what they can do first.
I'll wait a few minutes, but I want to talk to the contact.
Acacia was determined.
I'm going to call Paris first.
Rick shook his head. That's the wrong move. We need to work with the Russians.
The French may help us motivate the Russians,
Acacia explained.
You said yourself that Nicholas's contact hasn't been able to help. Maybe the BRB can persuade him.
Rick frowned.
Who are you going to call? Luke?
She nodded. Rick's frown deepened.
He isn't going to help us.
He's BRB, Acacia argued. He knows the agent who is hunting the stolen Matisse we saw in Kuznetsov's vault. It's the best lead they've had in years.
At that moment, Steve returned and placed her cell phone in her hand. She thanked him. She took the phone to the far corner of the room and dialed Luke's number. She rubbed her Hamsa pendant, praying he would answer.
Do you have your head straight?
Luke's voice was cool. Acacia closed her eyes.
It's an emergency.
Luke's tone changed and grew alert.
Where are you?
She opened her eyes and faced away from Rick and the others.
I'm in Moscow.
What are you doing in Moscow?
It's a long story. Listen, we found the Matisse, the one that was stolen from Musée d'Art Moderne. It's here.
There was silence on the other end of the line.
Luke?
She grew panicked.
Are you there?
Is this some kind of a joke? Do you and your new boyfriend make up these games just for laughs?
This is not a joke. I called you first, but his security team is also calling Russian Interpol.
Good. Tell them I said hello.
Wait!
She lifted her voice.
Don't hang up!
Luke huffed into the phone.
I'm here. But Cassie, you're trying my patience. I need your help. The man who has the Matisse is Serge Kuznetsov. He's Russian Mafia, and no one will touch him, not even Russian Interpol.
Acacia heard footsteps on the other end of the line, and the sound of a door closing.
This is out of my jurisdiction. I'm not even assigned to the Musée case.
I thought you could speak to Philippe.
Luke made an exasperated noise. Then Acacia heard the sound of fingers on a computer keyboard.
What else can you tell me?
Kuznetsov has other stolen works in his vault. Our security team was able to hack into their system. We have video surveillance.
Can you send it to me?
Luke rattled off his BRB email address.
Of course.
Acacia crossed over to Wen and scribbled Luke's email on a piece of paper. She quickly listed the files she wanted Wen to send and pointed to them with the end of her pencil. Wen nodded.
We're sending them, but look, I need the BRB to do something now.
There was silence for a moment.
That's not possible.
Luke breathed heavily into the phone.
We'd have to coordinate with Russian Interpol, as well as local law enforcement. It will take days, maybe weeks.
We don't have that kind of time.
She raised her voice, at the edge of tears.
Why isn't your boyfriend handling this?
Because Kuznetsov has him.
She barely restrained a sob.
He was kidnapped from our hotel. I'm with what remains of his security team.
Call the police, Cassie. I'm in Paris. What the hell do you expect me to do?
I expect you to help me. Not for his sake, but because I'm asking you.
She sniffled.
I'm asking you. Please.
I'll look at what you have, and if it seems credible, I'll pass it on to Philippe.
Luke's voice was low and gravelly.
I get that your boyfriend is in trouble, but there's nothing I can do about that.
Can you at least speak to Russian Interpol?
No, I'll look at what you send me, but there's no way I'm putting my ass on the line for this.
Why? Because I don't have my head straight?
Acacia's temper balanced on the edge of a knife. Luke blew out a breath.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But this is my career. After what happened last time, you can understand my hesitation.
This is his life,
she whispered.
Call the police,
Luke repeated firmly.
Report the kidnapping and contact your boyfriend's embassy.
Fine, goodbye.
Cassie, wait.
Luke raised his voice.
What?
He sighed deeply.
I'm sorry. I'll look at what you gave me and see what I can do, but I'm not making any promises.
Thanks.
Acacia hung up. She pressed her cell phone to her forehead and closed her eyes. Time was running out, and she'd just wasted precious minutes on someone who she'd thought was going to help. She'd never make that mistake again.